You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Joe Martech, that's me, right, Tom? Very good. See, Tom's used to yelling at me or kicking me or something to get my attention to make sure I start. But today he was just being sneaky. And so, you know, he wasn't quite getting as pushy as normal. You know, you're looking a little shaggy around the edges there, Tom. You know, not that I don't like it, but.
You're the third person to tell me that today.
Okay.
As long as he's not looking shabby.
He doesn't look
that's
shabby.
Okay.
Just shaggy.
He's looking good.
Now, actually, I think it makes you look a little extinguished. I mean,
oh, was he on fire?
Phil expired.
Expired, right? You're past your usable date.
That's it.
What happened is, folks, that this is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech, and Joe Martech's a financial advisor. And number one, we're here to help people. But number two, we do have fun with this show. Part of our thing is. One of our clients that actually came from WCNO, who's down in Palm Beach County, one day I met with him and I said, you know, I sure hope Jesus has a sense of humor because you know how I am. And he looked at me and he says, Joe, he has to have a sense of humor to put up with you.
Exactly right.
So that was pretty good. Well, today on our sister station, WPSL, which we're on every Wednesday at 11 o'clock a.m. as 1590 a.m. on the radio. Greg Fasula, attorney, and Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, showed up. And Greg Fasula brought his 16-year-old son, who today is 16.
Oh,
now,
yes.
First of all, I want you to know this was a mistake.
Why?
Well,
pray tell.
Because first question out of my mouth when I had the kid on the air, and his name is Anthony, by the way. Just you'll like that. I say that to Vince Rosino because he's deeply related to Anthony's.
Well, I have a lot of Anthony's in the family.
I know. You can't have
my
Rosino.
Grandson is the newest.
That's what I'm. That was why I was going with there. Uh-huh. Anyway, so I said, so your dad's buying you a car today. And the kid says, I don't know. I said, oh. So we proceeded for the next 15 minutes, Dan and I, to explain what we did for our kids.
Oh, no.
And Just as a story, my oldest, when she turned 16, pretty girl, cheerleader, in love for probably the 11th time at 16, not to her father's happiness, just the way it is, and she's in love with the captain of the football team, Handsome Devil,
of course,
who's 18 and she's 16, and he's going to go to college. Dad, now I'm divorced, so I'm a weekend father. Dad, I'm in love. Now, I have heard this a few times in the past. So then I said, oh, she goes, Dad, he's going away to college, and I want to get married and go with him.
Oh, boy.
And it's exactly like Dan and I both, you know, it was kind of, oh, boy, or And you don't, and you try not to react too violently because this isn't going to score points.
No.
So I said, huh. And I understand how you can feel that way, but, you know, you need to graduate from high school. She said, well, Dad, I can go up there while he's going to college, and I'll graduate from up there. Uh-huh. This is not looking good.
Right.
So I said, I'll make you a deal. And she goes, what? And I said, you stay, you graduate from high school, I'll buy you a brand new car, and I'll give you $25 a month for fuel, and I'll pay for the insurance.
Wow, what a deal.
And you know what she said?
Okay.
No. Very close. That's what.
I was in love. No, but now I like a new car.
She goes, you know what she said?
What?
What kind of car?
She is a smart girl.
That was so good. So, red Mustang.
She set you up, Joe.
Oh, boy.
I think, in retrospect,
she has never admitted this, but I think by now she should.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here's Greg's son, who's 16 years old there, who happens to be better than a straight-A student. His grade point average is 4.9. Because, you know what, the kid is just a superb, and his goal is either the Naval Academy or West Point. He's already visited the an Air Force Academy in Colorado. I mean, this is a solid kid, and between Dan and I, poor Greg, I think he's buying a kid a car today.
Oh, what did you do to poor Greg?
I know. He may never forgive me.
He's not, because he's going to feel inferior if he doesn't.
Yes. And I figured if I got stuck and Dan got stuck, we figure it's only fair that he gets stuck, right?
Hey, listen, my daughter got my mother-in-law's used car when she turned 18.
See, that's because you're an accountant. You're smarter than the rest of us.
I don't know about that. It was purely economics, and plus it didn't make sense to give them a brand new car.
You see what I'm going through? You see, here's the logic. It doesn't make sense, right?
Right.
Well, let me carry on with the story.
Okay, go ahead. There's more to this?
Oh, yeah, the story gets worse.
Oh, boy.
So last week, my oldest daughter's grandson turned 16. So his father takes him out shopping for a car. So guess what they bought? You only have one guess.
Ford Mustang.
Yes.
Oh. How did I know?
Red.
A red one at that.
Yes.
Yes. Was it convertible?
No.
Oh. So that would have made it perfect.
So my daughter is saying, how can you do that? And now the kid's a straight-A student. He's doing everything right. And he went out and got his own part-time job. I mean, a kid's solid, solid, solid kid. So then my son-in-law says to my daughter, she goes, uh-huh. So, what was your first car again, Sherry? So, anyway, there are one really happy 16-year-old from last week and one today who I think is going to be happy.
Very.
Now, Dan, he wanted the kid to get an SUV or a pickup truck. A bit more solid,
yeah,
more
sure.
solid vehicle, better protection for
mm-hmm.
the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I did ask the kid, which would you prefer, a Mustang convertible or a pickup truck? And he goes, boy, that's tough. Yeah, that was pretty easy.
So that was easy for him. So when's he getting the Mustang?
Well, poor Greg may not talk to me for a while, but
you definitely persuaded.
And Dan helped. You know, because we were both.
Yeah, you're shedding that responsibility to Dan, too, huh?
I did. Hey, if you'd have been there, I'd have thrown you under the bus with
me
us.
Exactly.
You know, I don't discriminate.
Ah, but I never spend other people's money.
I didn't say he could actually spend it. He didn't have to make his first payment for 30 days.
Oh, 30 days. You ought to call Greg and see if car he bought.
I don't think I'm going to. But, all right, folks. Now, write this phone number down, folks. This is important. Class, we're into the teaching hour. We're into the helping hour. And the phone number is 1-888-221-8990. That's toll-free, any place, 1-888-221-8990. So let me just back up for those that haven't heard the show. Team Martech is comprised of local professionals, which includes Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA, also forensic CPA, also ex-college professor.
But not at Columbia,
who is sitting here with me today. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Independent means he doesn't work for one insurance company. Under Dan's umbrella, there's pushing 100 different companies, so he can fill the void for almost everybody. Mr. Greg Fasula, attorney, who we were just talking about, who happens to be the only attorney that I know personally that I'd like to have as a next door neighbor, because he's a gentleman, and I mean a gentle man. He's patient, he's understanding, he's a good listener, he's considerate. He's all the things that he's not pretentious, he's not arrogant, all the things we don't expect from an attorney. And I've known Greg for over 20 years, and the reason that when we started doing the radio shows, I wanted Greg because he's fair also with clients. He's, you know, many attorneys, in my opinion, charge too much. I mean, I don't know how else to phrase it except to say that. Greg will talk to anybody on the phone. First meeting, he doesn't charge anything. I mean, Greg's just a flat good guy. Then Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. I don't know how many years it's been now, but those of you that have lived in Florida for a while have gone through the debacle of real estate when it was overpriced and then underpriced and short sales and deed backs and foreclosures. We needed to have an experienced realtor with great credentials to make sure that our clients were taken care of, and she's only been in real estate since 1978. She knows her stuff. And it, one of those people that if she says she's going to call you at 3 in the morning, she will call you at 3 in the morning. She does what she says she's going to do.
And she's only 30 years old.
And she's only 30, which is amazing. Anyway, you know, I often said to her, I said, you know, she's got that pure black hair. And I said, you know, Vic, do you dye your hair? Oh, no. I remember I had a lady that worked for me years ago. She was in her 70s, and she didn't have a gray hair in her head. And I said, you know, you dye your hair? And she goes, no. And I said, aren't you a good Christian lady? And she goes, yeah. And I says, how can you say you don't dye your hair? She says, we're allowed to lie about our hair.
She got special dispensation for that?
Special dispensation for that. Oh, anyway, man. It was just, she was an absolute sweetheart. Anyway, and then Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who works hand in glove with Victoria. In fact, last week, I think it was, a new prospect met with Mike and Victoria and me, and I think with Dan, and he will meet with Greg to get all of his affairs in order. And that was what's happened is, and when all these affairs are in order, he's going to have to come see Vince to straighten out all these affairs from a tax
Hopefully
standpoint.
He doesn't have too many affairs.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so the concept of our group is very simple here, to either make you money or save you money. And we've been very blessed in that we've been able to help many people. In fact, last week, we got talking about wills and trusts quite a bit, and how important something like that is.
Because, without a doubt.
Well, we know this much. If you die without a will, which is called intestate, it's a mess. And the state will get involved, and attorneys will get involved, and if you have anything, it's going to take a good long time to straighten it out. The normal process, when you have a will or intestate, is at least 6 months, and attorneys are allowed to charge a pretty substantial fee depending on the size of your estate. But there's a ways to avoid that, and anybody that has any questions on that, Vince and I are pretty dangerous on these subjects. We don't charge for this. This isn't something we do. When we get all done with what we think is our knowledge, we would then refer you to Greg, an attorney, to make sure that things are done properly according to Florida law. But there's a lot of times people don't need almost anything if they document things properly.
Absolutely.
Like in a bank account, you can put transfer on death agreements, which simply means it doesn't have to go through the court system. If you have annuity contracts, they have named beneficiaries. Does not go through the court system. If you have a brokerage account and you have a transfer on death agreement, doesn't have to go through the court system. Your homestead, your home that you live in, does not have to go through the court system. If you have other pieces of property, it gets more complicated. This is where trusts start to come in. But anyway, not to get in, beat that subject too much, you know, that's not exactly what we're here to do, but there was quite a few calls last week in reference to that and what needs to be done. And another big one, Vince, that we talked about either last week or the week before was a lady called in and said her mother wanted to give her a house.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And which is all fine and good, but quite honestly, there can be a monster tax implication if this isn't structured properly.
Absolutely. It's a matter of the basis or the cost basis when you ultimately sell it. If you get it gifted to you, then you carry over a basis from the gift-or. If in case of a mother giving a gift to a child, guess what? Your basis is her basis. So let's say she bought the house 50 years ago and she spent $20,000 on it. and says you put another 20 of improvements or 50 improvements, she's at 70,000. That's your basis. But guess what? If the house is worth 300,000 today and she willed it to you,
not
through
will.
A trust, through a trust,
through a trust,
through the trust, well, sorry, it goes through a trust, then it would come out to you with the fair market value on the date of death,
right?
Or 6 months after that if it's more favorable to you.
Yeah.
So it's a big difference, because on the second scenario, if it's through a trust upon death, then let's say the house is worth 300, that's your basis. So if you sell it tomorrow for 300,
no
you
tax.
Have no tax. However, on the other side, if you only had a $70,000 basis, guess what? You got potentially $230,000 capital gain. So, and if it's not your primary residence, that comes to a lot
you
of money.
You could be looking at $50,000 in tax, give or take.
Mm-hmm. So you got to be careful with the planning on this.
Monster, monster. So, I hear this quite often where family members deed or quit claim deed a piece of property to somebody, and I say, boy, you know, if you'd have spent $1,000 or $1,200 and done a trust now, you just save $50,000 down the road. I mean, it's a monster amount of difference. So you need to be very careful when it comes to these types of decisions. Let me give you another one. It's a big problem. And we've seen this happen regularly where parents take and they put their children on their bank accounts.
Oh, yes. Big, big, big problem.
Big problem. Well, here's what happens. And in that same vein, they take their primary residence, which is now a homestead, and they add their children to the deed on that home. Well, see, what happens is, let's say you have a primary residence in Florida, it's your homestead, and you get sued for $1 million and you lose. Well, your house is exempt. Your homestead is exempt from attachment by creditors. But if it's not a homestead, it's just a regular asset, and that could be used to settle a court judgment. Well, as soon as you put somebody in on that house that is not living there, it's not a homestead anymore. And let me tell you, you think attorneys don't jump on that one hard?
Oh, yeah.
If they
definitely
can find a way to collect. So you've got to be very, very careful about how you structure these things. So you need, whenever you talk to anybody, you the class now, that is talking about real estate, deeding a house, giving a house, you need to make a phone call to somebody like Vince or me or Greg Fasula, or talk to us on the show. Most of these things can be structured so you don't have this problem. But if you make the mistake, it could come back to haunt you. 1-888-221-8990. Anybody have questions on this, you call that number. 1-888-221-8990. Or if you have questions on anything to do with taxes, anything to do with investments, in fact, that's a monster subject this last week because of Brexit.
Brexit, yeah, you may want to get into that. What do you think the implications are to the U.S.
That's a good question. You see, nobody really knows the answer. I listen to people all day today on CNBC as I'm driving around, and then all of last weekend. I mean, you listen, and there is nobody that knows definitively what is going to happen. But most people are saying we got a problem that is not going to be cured quickly. Now, most of us don't understand it, but here's the problem that comes up, are these trade agreements between countries.
Right.
And if these trade agreements get voided because that government is no longer valid, you got a problem. And in England right now, they say the existing government is going to resign, but no new government's going to come in until October. They have to have wait time for an election. So we have more aggravation in between these times. So then people say, on the other hand, the market's rebounding because they're expecting these things to be handled.
Right.
Does that mean they will? We don't know. We don't know. So for the last 2 years, at least, I've been suggesting to clients of mine, let's don't get in the market. Let's go into debt instruments. Caller, are you there? Yes. You know what I did? I just knocked the phone off the cradle. I don't know if you heard that.
Well, can you get her back?
Can I get
you? Put you on a speaker?
I can put you on a speaker here maybe, but I'm not sure how. But anyway, you got a question for us.
Can't hear it.
You hung up on her.
Well,
he's not doing good.
A lot of help you are. Well, caller, here's what happened. Not only did I drop the cradle, but now I hung up on you. And then Pastor Tom came in to help me, and he didn't help me. And Vince is laughing. Here we go.
Maybe I'm laughing. Because
you know, just because
this is a comedy
of errors. Just because we sound intelligent and look intelligent, don't take the. Here we go. Did I hang up on you again?
You did.
I've got it down to a science. You got to give me credit, you know. Anyway, you have a question. Hopefully by now you've got it figured out how to ask it. Go ahead.
Okay, I was married and then I was divorced and we have a minor child and my ex-spouse passed away and my minor child is still a minor and he did not have a will and there are two assets that were left to Catherine, I guess, by his death that she would get.
Catherine is your daughter, correct?
Is my daughter.
Yeah.
Yes. And his parents have sent me all the information. It's a bank account and a small investment fund.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly how I would be able to receive those monies. I have been in touch with the investment persons, and they said that I needed a executive order of some sort. And I just don't really know how to go about without incurring a whole bunch of legal fees that I don't have. So the money is just sitting there, and it's going to go somewhere besides to my daughter.
Here's what you do. You call that company back, the whatever the investment company is, and you say exactly what you said. My ex-husband died. He left money without a will. It's going to go to his daughter, our daughter. I need the paperwork to fill out to get that transferred to her. And you let them, what they're trying to do is they're being lazy, and because they're not going to get paid anything to do this, but you're going to say tough, you can send me the paperwork, and then you can then get help from somebody like Vince Rosino, CPA, or Joe Martek, financial advisor, or Greg Fasula, attorney, and we'll help you through this. And if we charge you anything, it's going to be next to nothing, because we just don't charge for stuff like that. But it's not...
I don't mean to cut you off. I have been in touch with her very much so email-wise, and she just emailed me today again saying that everything's all set to go. What she needs is a copy of the certified court appointment. So I guess to get a certified court appointment, I need to go through the court.
Okay, so here's what... Wherever your husband died... That is Palm Beach County. Okay, fine. So then you're going to get a hold of the Palm Beach County Courthouse and talk to the clerk of the court and explain what you just did to us and say we need a judge to give us the executive order. And you don't have to hire an attorney. You're going to have to do some homework here, and you're going to have to ask the questions in such a way that they understand. But what you just said to Vince and I, we understand clearly, and you presented it very well, and you are not forced to hire an attorney. You can get this done without incurring a legal fee. But you need to call the county clerk at Palm Beach County and give them the story. They will then push you to the right person within the court system, and you'll handle it. It might take you an hour or two on the phone in a couple 5 days, but you'll get it accomplished.
All right. So well, now, that's great. I'm very happy.
Now the bank is going to do the same thing with that executive order.
They sent me a letter saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So that's all I need.
So
call the clerk, the court clerk, and explain what I just did, and then ask that a judge.
You ask them to put you into the right department to handle this, and they will. That's their job. So you're a taxpayer. We're all taxpayers in the county, and it's their job to help you as a taxpayer. So, and they will. Now, not everybody, you know, is user friendly on the phone. So you might have to be a little sweet and pushy. You sound sweet already, so the pushy part shouldn't be too hard to add into that. But you know, it's the you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, the old saying. So literally, you'll find people will help you. And okay. 90% of this you can do on the phone, or probably 100%. Once you find a person that, you know, you talk to another woman there especially that might be sympathetic to your position, and that'll go out of their way to help you. And I think it'll happen.
Okay.
If you run into any problem with this, you call us back, and we will help stir the pot for you.
Okay. Well, God bless you. I thank you.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Much. Let us know how it turns out any way you can, okay?
Okay, will do.
Thank you.
Thanks, caller. That's a common problem.
Yeah, it is. But you see, and here's what happens. It's back to not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
What do you do? Now, this is not a hard one for you or me, only because we've already run into it.
Exactly.
But the truth is, the court system, even though they love attorneys, because they are all attorneys, inside of that courthouse are a number of people that are not attorneys and judges that will help people, and they go out of their way most times.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Unless you catch them in a bad mood that day, then call back tomorrow.
And the worst case scenario, you go visit the courthouse yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you just could literally go down there.
And I've done that.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, let me just tell you a story. You know how we have stories that this precipitates.
Yeah. Especially when you get as old as you get a lot of stories.
Thank you so much. You look older than me, but you know you're not. But that's a personal problem. But literally, a client of mine, husband and wife, had a trust, but they were very private. Because normally when I get a new client and they have a trust, I said, let me take a look at your trust because I want to make sure it's done properly. Oh, no, Joe, it's done fine. You don't know. You're fine. Okay, fine. I'm not going to, make them show me something they don't want to show me. So by and by, the husband dies. So the wife calls me up and says, Joe, the house was not put in the trust. And I said, really? I said, the biggest single reason you normally do a trust is to put your house in the trust because you don't want it to go through probate. That was the number one reason for doing it. And the attorney told her, well, when one of you dies, the other one come on in and I'll put the house in the trust. So Dan and I are sitting there with Greg. Greg's the attorney. Dan's the independent insurance agent. Joe Martek, financial advisor. And we look at Greg and say, Greg, why would an attorney do that? And Greg says, I'm not sure. Dan and I look at him. We are sure it was because he could make an extra buck.
Right.
He makes you come in.
Yep.
So I tell the client, I said, look, you don't have to go see the attorney. You and I'll go down to the courthouse. I'll help you put the house into the trust. And you can buy me lunch. So it'll cost you $10 rather than a couple, $300-$400. So she's happy about that. I pick her up. We go down to the courthouse. And we show up. And the clerk says, okay, no problem. Here's the trust. No problem. Looks at it and says, okay, I can put half of the house in the trust. Say, what? Well, I can't put your deceased husband's half in the trust because on the deed, it does not say husband and wife. It had his name and her name.
Oh.
Now, 99% of the people would have never thought of this in a million years because what happens is this. Let's say Vince and I own a house together. Well, we are not husband and wife, even though he's cute. He's not that cute.
No.
The bottom line is, we can be partners. And if it doesn't say on the deed, joint tenants with rights of survivorship, it doesn't say something,
no.
Then literally one person dies, their half of that real estate or half of that asset goes into their estate.
Because you're tenants in common at that point, Joe.
Tenants in common.
Which means you don't join on. You own each, literally own half.
You each own half.
Half the house.
So yeah. Now what do we do? Get a saw and cut the house?
Cut it down half.
That doesn't work.
Need some heck of a saw.
That's against the rules. But the bottom line was that the half of the house was only part that could go in. So what happens is we then had to go to her children who legally had a right to half of the house. Now, luckily, this was not a second marriage. There was the natural children of both of them. And all three of the kids have to sign off on the house. It had to go through probate. It took almost 6 months to accomplish to get her house put. And then once it was re-deeded into her name, then it could be put into the trust. So literally, we talk about this, that very often, if you're married, if you says on your deed to your house, husband and wife, one of you dies, it's automatically the other person's. If you put down joint tenants with rights of survivorship, JTWROS,
or if they have the words as husband and wife or something to that effect on the deed.
Those two things. Yeah. Joint tenants with rights of survivorship or husband and wife. As long as it had those two designations, one person dies, it's automatically the other's. So, but if it doesn't, then it belongs 50-50 to two different partners, and one person dies, it automatically is taken out, and that is now half of that is in their estate. So there's certain things that need to be done, and most of these things don't necessarily need an attorney. Only 90% of the time you use one, because this is what they do. They know it. So what I was trying to say with this lady, the situation she's got is not an abnormal one. It's not not a good one, but the fact that he left something to his child, his minor child, there has to be documentation to put that into the minor child's name, with mom being the custodian of that because the child's a minor. Okay, it's paperwork.
There is a default benefit to it, Joe. If there's any minor benefit, and it's not that minor, is the half that's put into the trust, his half in this case, you get a step up in basis on the date of death.
There you go.
So yes, so there's some offset somewhere, but it's a pain.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
But it's a minor point, because if a mom she ends up having the whole thing in a trust.
Well, if she dies and is still living there, then it doesn't matter. But if she sells it.
Yes, it could. 1-888-221-8990. So when you've got people like Vince, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, in fact, our whole group, these are things that unfortunately or fortunately we handle on a daily basis or a regular basis, and that's why we have the educations we have and the documentation and the credentials that we have, is to help people with these situations. Just like this young lady with this minor child, she's going to have to jump through some hoops and do some work, but it's the right thing to do, and she does not have to hire somebody to get it done. She talks to somebody like us that'll guide her, and I would bet you anything, when we hear back from her in a week or three, that there's people at that courthouse that'll actually go out of their way to help her make sure this is done properly.
Sure. You're talking about a minor child here, so.
That's why.
It's an inheritance, and
yeah,
it's important to get it done right. Because the alternative is, I don't know where the money goes after that, because if he's intestate, then you got to prove next of kin, you got to go through the courts and the probate.
It goes through a terrible, terrible system.
It's not good.
But this can be avoided, because this is his child. And once this documentation is done with the death certificate and go through the courts and sign the papers, and the judge is just automatically going to seal it and be done with it. This is not something that they want to get involved with tremendously. They want to do the right thing. 1-888-221-8990. So if you have questions to do with taxes, wills, trusts, investments.
Now there you go, investments.
Investments.
So I know you can't talk a lot about investments.
Yes, I can.
What do people do in this environment now? I mean, we're in a very, I think, volatile situation. Not only with Brexit, but the economy.
Everything is a mess. Well, for the last, and Vince is setting me up for this question, folks, by the way, which thank you, Vince, because he's thinking I'm worried that my memory's gone, you know, which is a possibility. Don't have Pastor
I know
Tom.
You for a long time.
That's ago. It, right? The key thing we're trying to say is this. For the last 2 years, and I mean literally maybe 2.5 years now, I have suggested to most of my clients that we really don't want to be in the broad market. Why? If you have noticed or haven't noticed, the market has been flat now for 2 years. Now, it took a monster hit last week because of this situation in Great Britain. And that, in my opinion, is not a major problem, even though it looked like a major problem, and it could evolve into a major problem. But the reality is there's people all over the world, and I don't think it will. But in the meantime, people that have their money invested are a little upset when all of a sudden they say, well, gee, I lost 10% last week because of the market. So what I've been suggesting to most people for the last couple years is, let's don't get in the market. Let's get into debt instruments. Now, what's a debt instrument? A debt instrument's like a car note. You buy a car, you finance it, you sign a piece of paper that says, I'm going to make interest and principal payments. You buy a house, you sign a note and a mortgage, it's a debt instrument. Well, some of the biggest companies in America, household names, including some of the biggest utilities, have issued these debt instruments, and they pay interest. And they pay interest every 3 months, and normally they pay 5 or 6%, some a little bit better. And they're like clockwork. Now,
but Joe, you mentioned about these bonds and the highest caliber companies in the U.S. Aren't there another different layer or different tier of investing in bonds? They call them junk bonds. I mean, what's the differentiation between what you're recommending and these so-called junk bonds? Because there could be money made there too, right?
Well, there's nothing wrong with junk bonds. Well, the reason they call them junk bonds are not in what's called highly rated companies. These might be emerging companies that are not real big companies. So literally, normally these things have ratings that are put together by Standard & Poor's or Moody's, some of the two biggest rating agencies. Well, I stay away from junk bonds because I am also concerned that a lot of these companies, especially the smaller companies, in a volatile economy, are the ones that get hurt the worst. So I've been kind of staying away from those.
But they do give you a higher reward, though, right?
Yes,
for the risk? I mean, the rates are higher?
That's what they do. But there's a higher default rate in them, too. So when I look at these notes written by utilities or monster companies that are highly rated, and they're also 100% liquid, that means I can buy it today, I can sell it tomorrow. And there's no penalty. You mean literally they're very, 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 very liquid. In fact, the only ones that I deal with are openly traded on either the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange, so that they are guaranteed to be 100% liquid. So a lot of this is education, but people that are working with money in the bank that are paying 0.5%, 0.25%, or if you can get 1, you're lucky. You know, you take $100,000 at 1%, that's $1,000 a year.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But if you take $100,000 at 5 or 6%, that's $5,000 or $6,000 a year. That can make a monster difference in your standard of living, from getting $90 a month to getting $500 a month.
But what Joe, talk about if you can, that the Fed today, I think it was today, might have been yesterday, is talking about lowering rates now. Did you hear that?
Yeah, but here's
how does that impact these bonds that we're talking about?
Well, it literally this: the government sets the interest rate that banks can borrow money. It's got really not much to do with what we get paid, but that is how these interest rates are controlled. So they're up to about 0.5% right now is the rate that the banks are charging, the government is charging the banks to borrow money. Well, if they lower it back down to 0.25%, and the reason they're talking about lowering it, they're worried that this Brexit thing, which is the United Kingdom leaving the Eurozone thing, if that might create a ripple effect. Now, it may or may not, but what is happening is the government is a bit afraid, the Fed, of creating a problem by raising interest rates too high, slowing down the economy. Now, there's all kinds of other reasons why the economy is not humming along. We're not going to get into it. The key thing is this. Our job is not to, we can't cure the problem. We take a look at the problem and we say, okay, what are we going to do right now while there's a problem? So I'm saying to people, in my opinion, that now is not a good time to be getting into the market. And unless you're a long-term person, could be 5 or 10 or 20 years, it might be. But on the other hand,
what do the negative interest rates mean? Is it a disguised bailout of the banks? When I say bailout, is it a way to bolster the bank's equity positions?
Well,
if they're borrowing at negative rates, it means the government's paying them, right?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to imagine negative rates. We have not done that in America, but in Europe they are.
Yeah.
But see, in Europe, they've got some major problems. Mm-hmm. Remember, you know, the pigs?
Oh, pigs?
Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain.
Yeah,
the pigs. And these countries, this is here we go back into a political thing, which I don't want to get into. Why are some of these countries in trouble? Well, sometimes if you bring a dollar in and you spend $2, that causes a problem. You ever notice that at home?
Yeah, I
noticed
that.
Can be a problem.
Don't you notice that your credit just keeps growing, liabilities keep growing?
Yeah, you've built a mound that is so high that you can't climb it anymore. And, you know, the United States of America, we happen to be the luckiest people alive to live in a country that almost all the rules that the rest of the world lives by, we get to skirt. But that house of cards will catch up.
No doubt in my mind.
But in the meantime, I don't say we can't cure this problem. This is a political problem. This is an international problem. What do we do in the meantime? So I say to people, okay, fine, don't get greedy. Get satisfied with 5 or 6% on your money. And then when things come along down the road, okay, you want to go into something that's a little more aggressive or whatever, hey, then you get out and go back into that. In the meantime, you call 888-221-8990. Anybody have questions on wills, trust, taxes, starting States. A business, mm-hmm. closing a business,
very important.
Can job. Be another big thing.
It can be it could be problematic if you don't do it right.
Haven't you seen people that closed a business and they ended up with a multi-$100,000 problem because they structured it wrong?
They've got basically built-in gains that they didn't realize they had.
And
all of a sudden they have more of it taxed than they thought. The other thing is, just briefly, is Social Security, Joe. I had a client call 2 weeks ago. I don't know if we mentioned it on a prior show. And he was saying, Vanna, this guy is 63 years old. And he was at a cocktail party. He said, I was talking to somebody who told me that I should really get my retirement early from Social Security. Now, this is a guy who owns a business, making a decent living. And he says, and it's only going to cost me 3%, I'm told.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, 20 minutes later, after I explained it to him, said, look, in your case, I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. You're not going to wind up with anything, because as you know, you take your benefits early, it's discounted off of your normal retirement. So let's say your normal retirement 66, and you decide you're going to go out at 62.
Right.
Yeah, you'll get eligible for benefit, I'm assuming. You don't know until you go through. Let's assume you're eligible.
Let's assume you were going to get $1,500 a month at 66. You might get $1,100 a month at 62.
Yeah. And besides that, there's an income restriction between 62 and 66.
Here comes the big problem. This is important. It says if you make more than $15,500 a year, give or take, you make more than that much money in a course of a year, and you're taking Social Security early, you have to start paying back your Social Security.
It's a dollar for every $2 over that limit, Joe.
So let's say you made $40,000.
Yeah.
That would leave you $25,000 over, and you got $10,000 in Social Security. You just had to give back 100% of your Social Security.
Exactly. And what did you gain?
You actually took a loss. I mean, you didn't make a nickel because you were working. Now, I know guys that literally go part-time that took it early,
get under the
stay below the threshold.
Right.
So it's a very important thing that you understand, and I think I've even heard this from competitors. If you call the Social Security Administration, they'll answer questions, but they're not going to give you advice. That's not their job to advise you. But they will answer your questions. They'll be very open, but you have to know the questions to ask. So literally, taking Social Security early can work, but you have to know the implications.
Mm-hmm.
Have to know. There are also benefits. When I was listening to this lady with this child, and her husband died, there might be some Social Security benefits.
Yes, I was thinking about that as you called. We didn't bring it up.
But yeah,
she might be eligible.
Yeah,
for child support.
Actually, she is.
Yeah.
I mean, if he paid into the Social Security system, and I'm assuming he did, that child is eligible to receive a monthly check, which would go to the mother.
Right.
I mean, I saw a widow with two children that got $1,500 a month for those two children.
Actually, it goes to the child, Joe.
Pardon me?
Child gets the payment. There's actually two payments made. It's in the child's name, obviously. The mother deposits it for the child. But at the end of the year, the Social Security Administration sends out separate 1099s for each one.
But that's fine. Yeah. But see, there's not going to be any tax to the child in effect.
Oh, no. In effect, generally, they don't pay
But
taxes.
Either way, it is important for the widow or the deceased, the ex-wife of this husband who's deceased, to know the benefits for the child and for herself. If there are any for her, I'm not sure, but we know there is some for the child. So, and that money would go to her for the benefit of the child.
Right.
So,
I'm sorry we didn't think of that when that
she
call
was
here. Hopefully she's still listening and she'll go to Social Security and find out about that.
Now, just so you know, lady caller, you literally call Social Security, look them up on the internet and call them up. You can talk to them on the phone, and they'll be very helpful and just explain exactly what happened. Your ex-husband died. You have a 2 or 3 or 5-year-old child, whatever she is. And is there a benefit for that child and for herself? And they will say yes. And how do you claim it? You fill out paperwork again and go down and do it, and it'll happen. And there will be a backup benefit. Let's say he died 6 months ago. She might collect a 6 month in arrears. Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm not sure how far back they go, but
I think it's 6 months. Sounds right to me.
Six months sounds right to me. This isn't something we do every day either, but it's something that 6 months seems like the normal go back.
Yeah. So, but that could be a nice lump sum. Well, very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know,
and if you're a single parent, you could use it.
And now she's definitely not going to get child support.
That's right.
So, I mean, so that's why Social Security Administration is there under circumstances like this to help this spouse, this divorced spouse and this child. 1-888-221-8990. And remember this, folks, and I'm very serious. These are government employees, which means they work for you. And I know most of us are intimidated by government, but I got to tell you, we all pay our government to be there for us, and they are supposed to be there to help us. So when you call any county courthouse and talk to the county clerk, when they answer the phone, you tell them your situation. Their job is to direct you to the right person within that system. And my experience always, personally, has been very good. These people have always gone out of their way to help.
Oh, yeah. It goes up and down. I mean, I deal with the IRS a lot, too. And as much as people are afraid of them and they think that they're mean and evil, most of them are not.
Most of them
are not. I've talked to, they're reasonable people.
They go out of their way to cure the problem.
Yeah.
And in the best interest of the taxpayer, because they want to get it off the books.
And you don't have to have an attitude with them. See, half the battle is the attitude.
No. Now, if you're a crook and you're doing tax evasion.
Yeah, well, that's different.
You got a different story.
Yeah.
But the 90% of the people. Hey, and we have another caller.
We have a caller.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, how you doing there today?
Very good, thank you.
Good. I have a question here. I have a living trust.
Okay.
It's an ABC trust.
Go ahead.
My question is, if I have six apartments that are exactly the same, six four-unit apartments that are exactly the same, when the first person dies, and you get those appraised, and you put them into the A trust or the B and the B trust, can you put three apartments in each, or do you have to put a half of each one in each?
Here's a situation. Let's take an A-B trust. That means you are A, and your wife is B, okay?
Right.
Now, what you should have done when you deeded this trust originally, you should have taken X number of apartments and put them all in your trust, and you should have taken X number of apartments and put them all in her trust. Is that what you did?
No.
No?
No, it's only one trust.
Oh, so it's not an ABC trust.
I didn't think you split the trust up until the first person died.
No, not at all. No chance in the world. What happens is when the attorney did the trust, normally, let's say your net worth is worth, years ago it used to be only 700 or 600 and some odd thousand. Now it's up to 5.5 million that's excluded. But when you started doing these trusts, how many years ago was that?
It was when it was 600 for each person.
Okay, so now
in 98.
You're supposed to deed one half of the property into one trust. I mean, so let's say there was four units. Four would go into one, and the other trust would get another four. And the reason for that was when that one person died, there would not be any estate tax because it fell below the threshold. Now, if it was not done properly when you established this trust, that's a mistake. But there should have been two trusts, his trust, your name on it, her trust with her name on it.
Okay.
And the property.
Okay. How is it done? How is it done when you have the one trust? It's the Wilson Family Trust.
Right.
And then the first person dies.
Right.
That's split up until that's
no.
the survivor trust?
No, no, no. It stays, that trust stays just like it was. It's still the Wilson family trust. And you might have been joint trustees, meaning you and the wife. And now she's gone. Right. You're the only trustee. Nothing changes. Nothing. There's no tax. There's no nothing.
The terms of the trust would dictate what happens when the first to die. Usually the spouse would pick up the
usually
interest.
Usually the spouse picks up the other. Now, I'm guessing you and your wife liked each other. You weren't divorced or anything at the time when you did these, right?
No, we're still here.
Okay. So what I'm trying to say is that normally you do this trust, and you are the Wilson Family Trust, and you and her are joint trustees, which meant you can do something or she can do something. And then there's a succession in case you both get run over by a truck. You have next person that's in charge to do what it says in the trust. Now, one of you dies, that trust just stays just like it is. There's no change.
I was under the impression that when the first person dies, you have to fill out the form 1041 for the IRS. And the survivor reports the tax under their social security number, but the deceased person reports the tax of the other part of the trust under the new ID number from the IRS.
No.
This is Vince Rosino, caller.
Now, Rosino, by the way, is a CPA, and he's a forensic CPA, so this is gospel now.
You know, the trust document itself dictates what happens to the assets upon the death of the co-trustees or one or the other or both. Normally, the way that they're written is that if the spouse would step into the shoes of the deceased spouse, so that, say, you own 50-50 in the trust, at that point, you'd own 100% of the trust. But then the trust also then says when the last to die, which is the in your case the surviving spouse dies, the instrument would then also talk to who the beneficiaries are. So until you the co-trustees both die, you're going to keep that trust. Normally, what happens is a separate accounting is done every year, as you know. Of the activity of that trust, and then it gets reported usually on a joint return between a husband and a wife.
Normally, the Social Security number while you're alive
is yours.
Yeah.
Now, in the other case, unless that's the case,
it could be a different number.
Now, if you had set up a separate ID number for this trust,
you could have done an irrevocable.
You could have done an irrevocable. Yeah. I don't know what the story is.
But if it says Wilson Family Trust, Living Trust. Or revocable trust? Okay.
It's revocable trust until the first dies.
What happens is, not usually. And what happens is your accountant, whoever prepares this 1041, and I don't know that there is needed a 1041 in a basic living trust.
No.
The 1041 is usually done when you have, other than a husband and wife in the trust, you have other beneficiaries of the trust. And they're alive and they're getting living benefits. And that's usually an irrevocable trust or the 1041 is usually an estate.
Literally, under your circumstances as you gave it, you and her are joint trustees on your family trust. And when one of you dies, the other person takes over the trust. Nothing changes. None of the assets change. There's no tax consequence at that time. Now, that's the norm. Now, if it was structured any way different, I've never heard of it. And Vince, you've never heard.
I've never heard of it differently than that.
So, if you want to get more of an opinion on that, we'd need to see a copy of the trust, or who's you have the attorney. Is he still alive that did this trust for you?
Yes.
I would call him up and just have him reiterate what we are telling you right now, because under what you're saying, there should be no consequence whatsoever as a husband and wife in a revocable living trust.
Well, see, here's the thing. If it's like you said, all right, and the first person dies and the second person takes over everything, all right, taxes on that income are fully taxed by that for that person.
If the first person dies,
I don't have two trusts.
Okay.
But if the first person dies, and you do the 1041, and you get a separate.
Now, you got to get off this. You got to get off this subject. It's not correct. You need to call your attorney that did this. There is no such thing that you're saying about in a revocable living trust with the two of you as joint trustees and all the assets in that one trust. There's no such thing as what you're saying. Call your attorney that did this and have him tell you what we're telling you, because you're worried about something that I've never seen happen, and we do this on a regular basis, and whoever is advising you is assuming you have two separate trusts rather than one.
Right.
You know what I have seen, caller, and this may be your case, where when they set...
Are you familiar with the 1041?
Absolutely. I do them all the time.
CPA, right?
And the the 1041 is an income tax filing for a trust.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, if this trust is filing its own income tax return,
not under your Social Security
number.
That's correct. When the first person dies.
No, wait a minute. You said nobody has died yet, right?
No, nobody died yet, but the answer is, the first person dies.
No, then the other person is the trustee, it goes under their Social Security.
Well, it's right, or if it has its own Social Security number, they'll just change the beneficiary.
Yeah. Started it, and if it didn't use your Social Security number and it didn't use hers, if you got a third-party Social Security number, then you got a different story, but almost, I've never seen that happen.
But even under that case, what happens is that all the income would be allocated to the legal beneficiary of the trust income. And if the husband...
That's right, but you don't want all the income to go to that person.
Well, then you've got a whole different circumstance.
Here's the story.
We're running out of time here, but what we're saying again, you don't have a situation as long as you're both alive. And even if there's one left and it's one trust, there's still no situation, period, because you only have one trust. The only exception would be if you had an irrevocable trust that had its own Social Security number,
Not
under your name, not under her name. So you need to go back to your attorney and ask the same question, but you're looking for a problem you do not have, in our opinion.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
We are just about out of time. Is that right, Pastor Tom?
You got 45 seconds.
Hey, you're flashing. No, you just flashed 30 at us.
Not yet.
Yeah. The key was when we have AB trust, that means trust in his name and a trust in her name.
I've seen those.
And you divide let's say you got $10 million. We put $5 million in one, $5 million in the other. One person dies. There's no estate tax. Because the threshold today is $5.5 million.
But you realize the law changed, and they have you can carry over the
skip
exemption,
the law changes. I'm trying to make it simple because the law is going to change constantly, right?
But you get the benefits of the $10 million. You don't need the two trusts anymore.
You don't need them. Hey, folks, we were supposed to say goodbye.
Have a wonderful evening. Thank
You've
you
been
all.
Listening
God bless.
To the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.